Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 9th of July, 2017. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week we had a guest speaker, the Reverend Andrew Hazelwood. He's a friend from Minehead Parish and he's a retired Church of England vicar. He spoke on Nehemiah and buildings. So let's go and join him and as Roy introduces Andrew in prayer.
And we want to thank you, Lord, for bringing Andrew Hazelwood to us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for his willingness to join us in worship and to bring your word. And we pray, the Holy Spirit, that you would anoint and equip Andrew. May he speak your words of truth, Lord. May he speak words that penetrate deep into the heart this morning. We thank you for him and for Amanda. And we pray that you would bless them mightily. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's lovely to be here. I have to say, it is a real joy. And to hear the band, for what? You know how lucky you are to have them, don't you? Yeah, of course you do. Yeah. So, there was an overwhelming... There was an overwhelming voice. They spoke as one. In fact, it was a person over there, I think, that said yes. So it's great, and it's very nice to be here. I saw the scaffolding going up, and I'd heard that you've got work going on the roof, so I thought Nehemiah, but I also thought I'd better come prepared. I don't know whether it's because... it's not raining or whether things are going really quite well, but I don't think I need this. Of course, you always protect the musicians anyway, so just in case, you can have a loan of that. And I thought about how Jesus talks about buildings and... stable foundations and all that, but we might think about other qualities of buildings. In other words, that's not the only thing, is it? It's also how attractive buildings are. Where we used to live in the Midlands, just down the road from us, there was a house which our children, with typical certainty, not to mention rudeness, said, "That's the ugliest house in the world." And we used to go past it quite a lot, and they used to say, "So we take the road past the ugly house." Yeah, all right, Peter. Yes, thank you. There's somebody who lives there. Well, whoever bought the place must have agreed, because what they did was absolutely amazing. They bought this really ugly house, and they changed the front of it, and it looked an entirely different house. It looked only fairly ugly after that. So that was really quite good. And I had to admit that our children did have a point about how ugly the building was. So I brought along some pictures of buildings, and I want you to shout out. You don't have to think. Don't think. Just shout out, ugly or... beautiful. I really want to hear what the young people think, because I've got a view, but what you think really matters, because you might influence buildings in the past, in the future. Tim, he's over the hill. He has no influence on buildings and on all that sort of stuff. He's burnt his boats. But you just might. So. It comes up here. Okay. Sheila, let's have the first building. I want you to shout, ugly or beautiful? You said ooh. What does ooh mean? You're not sure? You're not sure? Oh, okay. I was going to say, if you're not sure, just murmur. But ooh will do nicely. Okay, next one. You're very tame here, aren't you? Now, when my children say it, they go, ugly! So let me hear you. Okay, next. Oh, there was an ooh over here. Who was that? Okay, next one. Oh, ooh, we've had that again. Okay, sorry, my fault. I'm out of my depth. I'm used to hearing, you know, I'm used to being barracked by adults, but frankly, do you intend to be an architect or a philosopher? Well, okay. It's a long, it's an expensive course. How long do you have to be? 7 years, is it? To be an architect? Okay, next one. What do you think? Do you? I think so too. I think it's beautiful. What do you think? Oh, good. Ugly. Surely it's worse than that, isn't it? Oh, what a lovely photo, eh? Oh, okay. Anybody know where it is? Yeah, that's right. I was going to speak about that, Sheila. I wasn't sure about your reaction. What was that reaction? What did you feel? Comme si, comme ça. You get a better class of person here, don't you? So, comme si, comme ça. What about other young people? What do you guys think of that previous one? Can you go back, Sheila, or is that not possible? Oh, look at that. What do you think? You're not sure? It certainly does look unusual. Hang on. So you ought to be a politician. Okay. What we got next? What we got next? Oh, yeah. Now, is that because you like the wisteria? The proportions are right. Oh, right. What are the right proportions? It's all to do... those. You're talking about the golden ratio and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. Okay. Yes, I like it. There hasn't been an accident. It went up like this. It did. What did you think of that? What did you think? What, Amanda? You didn't like it? You chose it. Oh, okay. Anybody like it, that wobbly building? Yeah. It's because you're a comic. Yeah, you love the quirky. Yeah, yes. Okay, what about this one? I don't know where it is. What is it? I don't know what it is. It's a building. It looks like a huge eye looking at the sun, doesn't it? But it's not the right angle to be a just one enormous... what do you call those? PVCs, you know, those things. Anyway, okay. Are we finished yet? Oh. What do you people? Do you like that building? Do you like that building? Can you see it? Do you like it? You do. You like it. You like it. Everything you said is right, of course, that's right, yeah. Yeah, let's be brutal, that's horrible. Come on, move it along. Ugly. Okay, ugly. Ah, isn't that lovely? Yeah. You're meant to be giving me your first... Because we're nearly finished now. Have we finished? Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it? I think so. Musée d'Orsay or something like that. Okay, yeah. Are we finished? Oh. Who said that quickly? You did. Amanda, you said that quickly. Thumbs down. Let's just get rid of it. Is that what you're thinking? Oh! I tell you what, you go in, this is Guildford Cathedral. It's near where I grew up. Every Easter Monday, we used to have a pilgrimage of young people walking huge distances. I mean, for us, it was 8.5 miles.
16 when we did it.
Ooh. 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 Okay. But if you go in there and you look down one of the side aisles, what are they called? The side aisle, probably. It's just uncluttered, and it's lofty, and it's clean, and it's lovely. Oh, okay. I think that's the last one. Is that the last one, Sheila? Okay. Let's just blank it out. Okay. Now, what I was going to do. So I've got a challenge here for a couple of... I'd love to have two pairs of people. I was thinking of one sort of older primary plus one younger primary, or it might have been one secondary school person and one primary school person. Can we raise two of those to play? Would you mind? Could you come out? Thank you. Yes, would you like to come out? That would be really helpful. Good, we've got the architect. Actually, you're going to be down here. And the materials at your disposal. Would you like to come down here? Because this gives you the ability... to have something to do while I'm boring people. Right. Okay, so.
We're building a building.
Okay, I need one more pair of people. Yes! Thank you. Yes! Thank you very much indeed. Okay, now, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is this. Oh, I've lost my piece of the paper. Oh, dear. Oh, here we are. Okay, now, can you keep a secret? You two are working as a pair.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Shh. Don't read it out. This is for your eyes only. Okay. Now, the idea is that you're building half a building, and you are building half a building, okay? And the two halves join up, okay? And so, I've got these bits. So, you're building... that half, all right?
Okay.
And you're building this half, all right? And you've got a slightly... Well, this is your challenge. Just read it. Don't let them see.
Hey.
No, you're not going to see. No, you're not going to see. Time to do this. So let's agree that it comes out as far as this, there and there.
Okay.
And you work on that bit and you work on this bit. All right.
Okay, so
now don't worry about the roof. We've got people to do roofs. Okay, so just do the walls. All right. Of course it'll work. So,
sure.
So you're going to be working on this part,
uh-huh.
And you're going to be working on this part. Okay. Are you all right? Okay. They've got all the bricks, so rescue the bricks.
No, I
mean you've got to share the bricks. You've got to share them. Okay. Okay. But you got to be quiet.
No one heard anything.
Nothing. We heard nothing. Okay. But I'm not going to be looking at the parables of Jesus. I'm going to be looking at, when I saw the scaffolding, first thing I thought of was, of course, yeah, That's right, Nehemiah. You were going to say that, weren't you? Nehemiah. All about building. And there are always challenges when you are building or putting a roof on. Sometimes building involves waiting. Sometimes it involves stop waiting and get on with it. It involves planning. It involves costing it out. And it involves overcoming difficulties. But this, you might as well talk not just about buildings, but other enterprises as well. Putting on a production of God's spell. Okay? It involves sometimes waiting, thinking. It involves getting on with it. It involves planning, costing it out, and overcoming difficulties. And so Nehemiah, although he was building, he had all these things, but it applies to so many other things as well. Amanda's going to read out a passage from Nehemiah. I thought also it even applies to looking for a new minister or a church worker or somebody to fill that slot doing that piece of work inside or outside the church. It involves that. That's in the same way. Sometimes it involves waiting. Sometimes it involves getting on with it. Sometimes it involves planning, overcoming opposition, all those things. So we're not just thinking about buildings, we're talking about doing anything for the Lord. So during this reading, I want you to listen out for those things: having to wait, getting on with it, planning, costing it out, and overcoming difficulties. So Amanda, we'd like to come and read this passage. Really, I wanted to read the whole book of Nehemiah, but I knew I would not be welcome. Just having a small part.
So, for those who don't know, Nehemiah was in exile in a different country from where he was born and grew up. And he was a very highly valued servant of the emperor. So this is where this bit starts. One day, when Emperor Artaxerxes was dining, I took the wine to him. He had never seen me look sad before, so he asked, "Why are you looking so sad? You aren't ill, so it must be that you're unhappy." I was startled and answered, "May your majesty live forever. How can I help looking sad when the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins and the gates have been destroyed by fire?" The emperor asked, "What is it that you want?" I prayed to the God of heaven, and then I said to the emperor, "If your majesty is pleased with me and is willing to grant my request, let me go to the land of Judah, to the city where my ancestors are buried, so that I can rebuild the city." The emperor, with the empress sitting at his side, approved my request. He asked me how long I would be gone and when I would return, and I told him. I went on to Jerusalem, and for 3 days I did not tell anyone what God had inspired me to do. Then, in the middle of the night, I got up and went out, taking a few of my companions with me. The only animal we took was the donkey that I rode on. It was still night as I left the city through the valley gate on the west and went south past Dragon's Fountain to the rubbish gate. As I went, I inspected the broken walls of the city and the gates that had been destroyed by fire. None of the local officials knew where I had been or what I'd been doing. So far, I had not said anything to any of my fellow Jews, the priests, the leaders, the officials, or anyone else who would be taking part in the work. But now I said to them, "See what trouble we are in because Jerusalem is in ruins and its gates are destroyed. Let's rebuild the city walls and put an end to our disgrace." And I told them how God had been with me and helped me and what the emperor had said to me. And they responded, "Let's start building." And they got ready to start the work.
Thank you very much. I didn't realise that building was so noisy. There we are. Hello. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 8, then 11 to 13, then 17 to 18. It's a wonderful story, Nehemiah. I guess you know the story of Nehemiah. If you don't, it's worth reading. Just read the book, because it's short, and it's a thrilling story. But as I say, I wanted to use Nehemiah, but I couldn't use the whole of the book, because, well, there isn't enough time. So I chose that part as kind of those. So it was Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 8, then 11 to 13, then 17 to 18. Now, sometimes building or putting on a production, like God's spell, or looking for a minister, or doing a piece of church work, planning a barbecue at Bossington. I wish we could come, but I've got another service I've got to go to. And anyway, I'm sorry about that. I would love to have come. So it involves doing these things. Sometimes you have to wait. When Nehemiah first heard about the walls of Jerusalem... Well, I wasn't using the Good News Bible. I was using NIV or something. And it was the month Chislev, which is about November, December time. And it was about 4 months later, as the Good News Bible mentions, that he has the chance to talk to the king. So he knew how to bide his time and wait for God's moment. It's a huge lesson. And it was God's moment. So Nehemiah took it. He could recognize this opportunity sent by God. He waited no longer, but came right out with it all. So I wonder if you find it more difficult to wait, or do you find it difficult to get on with it? I don't know. Anybody brave enough to say? Who finds it easier to wait? Well, I'll tell you, I used to find it very easy to wait. I love the wit, the very wise person who said, never do today what you can put off till tomorrow. And I thought, what a wise person. Oh, yes, better than jumping out of the frying pan into the fire, better than doing all that, much better to wait. And I used to find it difficult to say, this is the moment, I'm going to do it. But Nehemiah knew how to do both those things. He knew how to wait, and he knew how to grasp the moment, because it was clearly God's moment. I used to think, better to think about things, plan them. Better to have time to pray about things. It's amazing how easy it is to spiritualize your own preferences. You know what I mean? You're the sort of person who naturally does this, and you can find a spiritual reason for doing that, but it may not be right. Sometimes it's right to wait, and sometimes it's right to grasp the moment. And Nehemiah knew how to do both those things. You had to wait, and you had to see God's moment and grasp it. So he came out with it all, as we heard in that reading. He told the king about Jerusalem's walls. You notice he didn't invite confrontation. Did you notice? Call me cynical, call me just plain old. But Nehemiah actually said, "Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's graves, lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" He didn't actually mention the word Jerusalem. I don't know. I think he was being savvy. That's the honest truth. And there's nothing wrong with that. So I'll leave you to decide that. But I want to move on to planning. Not planning permission, you understand. I'm going to speak about planning permission. I'm meaning planning in a general way. You remember that Jesus used building as a basis for parables on more than one occasion. We know the songs, don't we? And I'm sure you'll remember this beautiful song in Godspell. We can build a beautiful city, not a city of angels, but we can build a city of man. We may not reach the ending, but we can start. I should have Tim here. He knows all these words off by heart. Slowly but surely, mending, brick by brick, heart by heart, now, maybe now. It's lovely to hear about those hearts being changed and those people becoming Christians over that week. So, beautiful city being built, not a city of stones, but a city of man. And this is part of the gospel, not the Godspell, the gospel. Thinking, planning, working it out, building all sorts of things. In terms of repairing a building, or putting up Jerusalem's walls, or putting on a Christian production, or finding the right kind of person for some ministry of some kind, or about thinking about a new job, or thinking about moving, any number of things, planning is very important indeed. And Nehemiah knew this as well. When that moment came, it was God's moment, not only did the king, did he tell the king what the problem was, but he also knew what else he needed to ask for. He'd been planning it in his mind. Time off work, letters of safe passage, a letter to allow him to have timber from the king's forest, the emperor's forest. And you note, the king granted me what I asked, for the good hand of my God was upon me. Let's just see how these builders are getting on. Guys, are you finished now? Yeah, okay.
Wow!
Okay, you sit down. We're going to show people what you've done. Yeah, I can move. I've got these legs. I'm amazing. Okay, we'll come back to that. That is superb. Brilliant. Now, this clarity of vision was really important. There was a time when I used to look through the Situations Vacant column of the Church Times. I don't recommend it as a publication, but it's the one to look for if you're looking for a job. Okay, if you're a minister. Some churches were very clear indeed about what they wanted. Oh, better take two columns. You feel like St. Michael the Archangel, only need apply, you know? So they're very clear about the vision. And some were really vague, and you think, don't know what they want, really. We'll not go into to all that. But Nehemiah was absolutely clear about what his vision was. Sometimes, of course, it's quite appropriate to be clear about a vision and then to modify it. I believe that. Situations change, people change, and God changes us. But Nehemiah's clear vision was absolutely right. His vision, as John Stott says, begins with dissatisfaction with what is and a clear grasp of what could be. I think those are marvellous words for a vision. I'm going to repeat them. Dissatisfaction with what is and a clear grasp of what could be. And that was his vision. Now, there's one asset that I haven't talked about, though it's of vital importance, and that's the asset of prayer. We didn't hear chapter 1, but if we had, we would have heard about how Nehemiah's immediate reaction to the sad news of the state of Jerusalem's walls was to turn to prayer. Could analyze that prayer, actually, but we won't. Not only does Nehemiah immediately turn to prayer, but Scripture says that he continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Now, I saw the notice, one of the notices. I wonder if you are so used to those notices that you don't, you know, you're blind to them. But fasting, praying on Fridays, between 1 and 2, I think it is, isn't it? For a new minister. Now, a year on, I was thinking, that must be difficult. The prayers are going to be, probably, pretty much the same as they always have been. And that's okay. But to continue in prayer in that way is both vital and sometimes difficult. But it's a huge asset that we have. In fact, it's a vital asset. So Nehemiah was good at long-term prayer. He waited those 4 months. But he's good at the quick, now's the moment prayer too. I'm sure you spotted it. When the emperor asks, what do you want? Nehemiah prayed to the God of heaven. And I said to the king, to the emperor, I'd like this. What a wonderful example of an arrow prayer. He can have had a split second, that's all. The emperor asks a question. You don't hang around and say, before I answer that, O emperor, live forever, I'm just going to say a few prayers. He didn't do that. He just shot a prayer off and then said. So, Nehemiah knows how to pray. He knows how to pray long term, and he knows how to pray on the hoof. And that's great. And having done those things, having this clear vision backed up by prayer, the plan that Nehemiah developed is a realistic plan, taking into account the challenges and the assets at his disposal. I've already mentioned the letter for the timber, but he further develops his plan after he goes on that secret reconnaissance. Did you notice that? That secret reconnaissance that we heard about in the reading. He had that clear vision. He now refined it because he had further information. You notice that he didn't entrust the recce to anyone else. This was important. He did it himself. We can't leave it quite there. We have to add just a little something. After our passage, the next word, I wonder if you've got it in your Bible, the next word is a very small word. It's the word but. Sometimes these small words in Scripture are so important because they tell us, they prepare us for what's going to happen. But. The thing that's coming next is opposition. I know we didn't read that passage, that part of the passage. You have to take it from me. It has to be mentioned. Opposition from within and from without. And it wasn't just once, and it wasn't fair. It came. So much more to say about this, but not on this occasion. We've been thinking about timing. We've been thinking about recognizing God's moment. But before we do that, we have to have this clear overall vision. Otherwise, we won't recognize God's moment when it comes. We've looked at the assets that are available to us. And we rejoice that, equipped with all God's gifts, we may indeed build a beautiful city. You're going to come and sing it for us, Tim? No. Oh, okay. I thought I'd show you this is a single building. Would you like to explain what on earth you were doing? Where are they? Where are they? Okay, it may be necessary to go on that architectural course after all. Okay. Would you like to explain what you were up to? Is this your half here?
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah. Is this Nehemiah on you? Oh dear. Oh well, I think there we have it. So Nehemiah on his donkey, nearly, yeah.
We basically made a stable which contains the horses. It took us a bit of time. On this side, this people who can see it on this side.
Yeah, look at that.
This is where they eat and drink out.
Oh, look at that.
This is where the tools are in case, like, anything in the stable needs fixing. And then they also have a little window that they can peer through, like down here.
That's lovely.
And we put a roof on it as well, and Maddie added the sheep. I don't know why.
And we have a mountain. We have a mountain block.
So yeah. You can walk up.
So then you can just, like...
Oh, a mountain block. Get on your horse.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. 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 Yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Eat from and like a little like.
This is wonderful. Yeah. And I'll tell you what.
Just came into our minds and we just did
it. It's a stable, isn't it?
Yeah. Because yeah,
it really is stable. Can you see that? I mean, you could live on that. You could live on top of it, let alone inside it. Yep. Would you?
Yeah.
Would you?
Yeah.
Don't let your parents hear that. Okay.
Well, now, they don't go to church, so I'm fine.
Oh, you're error.
I'm fine.
Okay. Now, what on earth were you doing?
This is meant to be a strange building.
I think we could agree with that, couldn't we?
I can see that. I just don't get what they've done with it.
We tried to just put, like, loads of random bricks, just pile them on top of each other. That didn't work. It looked like quite a nice building to live in.
Oh, it looked quite nice, did it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't strange enough for you.
No.
Okay.
Extremely strange now.
And then
we
tried to do this, like...
That's wonderful, that is.
I would not live there.
Yeah.
No.
Well, this is not having a clear vision. This is having two visions. This is the sort of thing that you can come. It's meant to be one building. This, okay, right? Disaster, isn't it? Complete disaster.
Yep.
You have done wonderfully well. Thank you very, very much indeed. You are truly weird people. Yeah. Yeah. And you are truly stable people. Yeah. Okay, thank you ever so much. I think you deserve... Yeah. Am I allowed to use this table? Okay, if you haven't any clarity of vision, you might end up with that. You might end up with that. Okay, let's say a prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the wonderful assets that you have given to us, that we can use at all times in our lives, not just when we're thinking of something big like a building or a minister or somebody to help on the coffee rota or organising Godspell. We can use all these assets that you have given to us at any time at all. We thank you for the asset of prayer. And we pray that you will help us make good use of it. And will save us from feeling guilty, not getting anywhere, getting bogged down. But we pray for clarity of vision in whatever we're about, whether moving house, a moving job, or whatever it might be. We pray for clarity of vision. We pray for the ability to wait when we need to wait and to grasp your moment when we need to act. And we pray that what we build, whatever it is, may be for your glory and in your purposes, in order that your work may go forward in all kinds of ways, in our everyday lives, as well as in the big things. And we pray that you will save us from weird buildings and dodgy stuff. All this we ask for your glory alone. Amen.
To leave a comment on the sermon, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.